a wide range of topics, an even wider range of views. Talk About on Radio Kerry. Veterinary advice on Talk About with Danny the Vet. Brought to you by Pet Mania, Manor West Retail Park, Tralee.
Danny, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mary.
So you're going to talk about older pets in winter today.
Yeah, definitely. When animals get older, a bit like humans, they slow down and the circulation isn't as good, and they need a little bit of extra care this time of the year. And one of the common things that get worse in the cold would be arthritis. And about 4 out of every 5 dogs older than 8 years of age will have arthritis, and 9 out of 10 cats over 12. And it always tends to get worse in the winter time. And the sort of the things that people will notice is bits, dogs especially, that slower getting up, trying to stay more of the time in the bed, sometimes particular difficulty either getting up the stairs, getting into the car. Cats, now often people, the dog will have say, well, my dog doesn't have arthritis because he doesn't cry or whine. Dogs don't do that. They're not going to cry or they're not going to show signs. But other signs that you can notice, we had one there now about a month ago, and it was from West Kerry, basically it was an older dog who had always been a gentle pet and was suddenly getting aggressive and growling. And basically we did some x-rays and it was spondylosis, it was arthritis in the spine, which was quite painful. And when we treated the dog for the arthritis, the growling stopped. So basically, I suppose you can imagine if you're stiff and sore, it makes you cranky and then you're not getting any sleep. And I suppose it's understandable. Cats, it's more difficult to notice because cats are really, really clever and they mask pain and mask illness. And a cat with arthritis will typically just stay the whole time in the bed. They might go near, they like heat as well. So they like heat anyway, but they tend to stay in their bed and not get out. Likewise with heart disease in cats, it's going to be very hard to notice because they just won't move. So those are the sort of symptoms, and it's extremely common. And what I would just say to people is just be aware of it, and there's lots you can do. There are supplements, a bit like humans, with glucosamine and chondroitin that you can actually add to the diet, and the special diets for older animals. And also there's pain relief. You can give them pain relief. Now, with older animals, it's very important to get their bloods done before you start giving them painkillers, because the non-steroidals, that would be sort of Metacams and things, the equivalent of us taking Brufen or Nurofen or something like that. They can be damaging to the kidneys if there's anything wrong with the liver or kidneys, so you need to do bloods before putting them on that. Now, the other thing is that there is... just this past year, there's a revolutionary new drug for arthritis, which has made a huge difference. We've been having a lot of it's kind of a monthly injection. But other little things you can do is, if you just make it easier for the dog or the cat, nice warm bed so that they're comfortable. Also, if they have difficulty getting up, I find that if there's a bit of a carpet around or something that they can get a grip on first, because it's quite hard. You can imagine if trying to stand on tiles or something slippery like that. And the other thing is that when the joints get weaker, this is the same in humans, we're dependent on our muscles to support the joints. So exercise is important. And with older animals, frequent short walks are the way to go, because you need to strengthen those muscles, because if you just let them be, they just get weaker and weaker and muscle wasted. So it's really important. And as we all know now, the evenings, I just noticed myself, we do a lot of walking, myself and my wife. And it gets so dark so early now. So if you are taking your dog out in the evening, a good idea, first of all, make sure that you have a good leash that the dog can't break loose and run in front of a car. But also, like, you can get these high-vis collars or jackets, and you should wear one yourself as well, obviously, because so you can be seen when it gets darker. And other things you can do. Cats, actually, if they're outdoor cats, you might consider them putting them indoors when they get really old, because the cold will make it a lot worse. Also, cats often will drink water outside, and if they've been used to doing that, they may not drink water inside. They don't like chlorinated water, so that's why they don't like tap water, whereas rainwater out of a puddle outside is much tastier to them. And what happens is that they, because it's sore and they're cold, they don't go out, and they just sort of try and hold on and hold on, and that leads to a lot of kidney problems and urinary problems. A very common cause of urinary problems in cats would be not going out, holding on too long. That would be like, it could be stress of another dog or cat in the area, but on this case it could be just going out in the cold. So what I would suggest with older cats there that are used to going in and out, have a couple of litter trays, especially in a kind of a quiet area where they can go, because that allows them. And smaller little pets like rabbits and guinea pigs that are outdoors, they need to be brought in really cold weather, because they're not geared for it. You'll also notice that it's the condition, you know, you've some dogs like huskies that are meant for cold weather, but a lot of dogs that have a kind of a shorter coat, like boxers and, you know, any dog with a short coat, they really feel the cold in the winter. And you could consider getting a coat for them. Now, some love it and some are kind of a bit intimidated by putting on a coat. So a really good idea, if you want to get a coat, introduce a coat to a dog, is if you put the coat on the ground first and put a little bit of food on it, and you know, let them eat that so that they get used to it. And then a good idea is the part of it that goes over the neck. If you just get a little bit of food and put it through that, so put their head through it, and just gradually get them used to it, because it does make a big difference. I remember we had a number of boxers, but I remember one of the previous ones there, she was so delighted with her coat, she was parading around the front. And like, she had previously been staying inside in the shed all the time, and in this case she was wandering off her. So it can really help. And also, if they are, make sure that they have a nice warm bed. Also, if older animals are out, or any animal actually, if there's ice or frost, we don't have that at the moment, but like, they haven't got shoes, so that can actually burn their paws. And sometimes when they put down salt and grit and things for in the winter time, that salt gets in between the toes. It's very burning. Also, even in this weather, it's wet and mucky outside, and it's a very good idea, just if you are taking them out in conditions like that. Well, it wouldn't take out an ice, but if you are taking them out in conditions, it's a good idea for an older animal just to give their feet a little wash and just dry them afterwards, because and you'll also get rid of any salt that's between their feet or whatever. And also, it's just that animals, you know, a lot of people, if your dog is showing any of these signs, get it checked by a vet, because people often think it's like humans. They haven't cried or anything. You will never hear a dog crying with pain. It's just that they just don't want to move. So these are little hints. And cats, if they're staying in their bed all the time, those are warning signs. So it's worth getting them checked out.
Mm. And do cats, I'm speaking from experience here now, because I'm thinking of my two, they just don't seem to like going out when it's very wet and it's windy. You know, they have litter trays inside, but you'll often see them, they'll put a paw out and then they'll decide to come back in. And we always
I agree with you.
It's the time cats of the year, and they tend to go a bit mad because they won't go out because they don't like getting too cold or wet.
Cats are super smart, and they do like their comfort, and they are, whereas the poor old dog will wander away out and he'll freeze. Yeah. A cat will say, to hell with that crack, I'm not going out there, you know. No, cats are super smart. Now, what is important though, is to have, cats are really, really private.
Mm.
And when they're going to the toilet, they just don't like others to be looking at them.
Yeah.
And it's a good idea to put the litter tray in an area that they can get access to, but that, you know, that they have privacy there. And actually, the most common one of the most common conditions we get in cats are urinary tract problems. It's like cystitis. Mm. And in the olden days, when I qualified first, we used to test it to find out what bacteria were there, and we used to treat them with antibiotics. And now they've discovered that 90% of cases of those urinary problems in cats are actually due to stress. And it's just, if there's a cat, a stray cat or something outside, or a dog, or even if it's really cold outside, they hold on and hold on and hold on, and they get these urinary tract problems. So it's often stress related. It's an inflammatory reaction rather than an infection. So if your cat is constantly getting, if your cat is constantly getting cystitis, well, one of the things you can have there is you can have these little crystals in the bladder. That's one thing. So that's why the vet would do an ultrasound scan. But a very common thing, it's just related to stress. So that's it. I suppose another thing at this time of the year, and this is just a warning to people because we will see it every single year, rat and mouse poisons are dangerous for dogs because they're meant to kill mice and rats, but dogs, they're actually, in order to attract mice and rats to eat them, they're very, very palatable, and they're tasty, and like a dog or a cat will eat them, and what they do is they interfere with the clotting mechanisms, and by the time that you notice symptoms, they've already lost a lot of blood internally, and it can be quite hard to save them. So it's important that to make sure that where you are putting the bait, that animals, that your pets can't get at it, because that's a frequent thing that we would see this time of the year. And another common enough poisoning we see over the winter, more in the colder weather, is antifreeze. If you be very careful to collect any antifreeze that is spilled or whatever, because antifreeze is really, I haven't tasted it now, but I'm told it's really sweet and animals love it, and we'll go back for more of it if they like the taste of it. Mm. And it's highly damaging and causes serious damage to their kidneys, so it's really, really toxic. So that's another little thing to avoid. So they're just a few sort of simple tips. Other things that are affected is that animals were going to be exercising less. Well, they do it less when they get older anyway, but then the tendency is to put on weight as well, and that can often get worse over the winter months when they're not going out for walks. So if they're not able to get out as much, try and get short walks in, or maybe sort of indoor walks or whatever, because it's like the same as ourselves. If you don't use your muscles, they get weaker, and with age, because 4 out of every 5 are going to have a degree of arthritis, it's really important to keep them, the weight down, and keep them as fit as possible.
Okay. And with the cats then, is there anything you can do with them, you know, when they're choosing not to go outside and they put on a few pounds over the winter, you know, will it do them any harm? Or?
Basically, cats are entirely independent. Mm. And they do precisely what they feel like doing when they feel like doing it. So the only way you can control that is just eating less food. You can feed it sort of a lower energy food. But I would also check it. Now, that's a different thing. Not wanting to go outdoors is just smartness. They just don't want to get cold. But if you have a cat that's suddenly not getting out of its bed at all and not moving, another very good sign of a cat, because cats in the wild, if a cat showed weakness, they were rejected by the other cat, so they were left behind, and they obviously died, and they were subject to predators or whatever. So their whole innate physiology is to hide pain and to mask it. That makes it very difficult from a veterinary point of view, because often a cat will have serious teeth problems or serious arthritis before the owner will notice it. But a good indicator is cats are extremely fastidious. They constantly groom themselves. And if you have a cat that used to be well groomed that suddenly has got a grubby coat or lots of matting or whatever, there's either something wrong with its heart, something wrong with its teeth, or something going on. That's an indicator, and go to a vet in that case, because like cats are so difficult to notice. And the problem often we find now, people have got much more aware now, and particularly because cats are indoors, people will notice things more. But if you notice inactivity and not getting out, not grooming properly, there's something wrong, and get it checked out.
Veterinary advice on Talk About with Danny the Vet, brought to you by Pet Mania, Manor West Retail Park, Tralee.
So, Danny, we'll get straight to them. A person says, I have a Bichon Frise 2-year-old, gets very aggressive if anyone comes to the door or approaches the car, growling at them. What can be done to stop this behaviour?
Okay. Basically, that's a training issue. Aggression can be for several different reasons. I suppose the sort of obvious thing that you would think of there is have him neutered, but that doesn't always work. Neutering certainly calms animals, but often in a situation like that, it could be protecting the house. It could, and also you need to address it pretty quickly, because aggression generally gets worse if you don't address it. So that is quite a complex area, and basically that involves training. And what I would suggest you do there is get on to your vet, and they will suggest somebody that's good for actually training them, because that's a behavioural thing. Now, sometimes neutering will be advised. Neutering is a good idea anyway, because it sort of calms down animals and it prevents certain types of cancers, and it stops dogs from wandering looking for females around the country. But it mightn't necessarily work for that. The jury is out. It may help or it may not. And what I suggest the initial thing to do there is to speak to somebody about behaviour. Now, there are things you can do in the short term. First of all, you don't want the dog biting somebody. So if they are going into a situation where they're aggressive, it's probably best to put on a muzzle until you get the training thing sorted. The other thing that you can actually make a dog worse is if a dog is growling, say, at a particular, at somebody or kids or whatever, you need to make sure it's on a lead that it can't get near them. But also, you have to try and calm yourself down, because if you show anxiety, and that actually feeds their, they can sense that. And if you're showing anxiety, the dog is saying, God, I better up my game here, and they can actually get more aggressive. So that you have to try and stay calm. So that would be part of the thing with the training. But in the short term, put on a muzzle, because that is likely to get worse. And I would say get on to a good trainer, and they can give you advice. Now, that's because I'm saying that because it's a young dog, and it's mature, like it's more than a year old. If that were an older dog, I'd also be getting them checked out medically, because it could be like that dog I mentioned earlier that might have a source of pain or whatever. But in this case, it's training is the first place to go, and get advice from a good trainer. And rather than mention particular names over the airways, now I think speak to your vet on that.
Okay. Caller has a 14-year-old terrier who's been coughing up phlegm for the last 2 days. Dog is in great form otherwise, but this is annoying. Would Danny suggest anything so the owner can help clear him out?
Yeah, I'd say get to a vet. That's often the first signs of heart disease. And often, like, it'll be quite subtle. They'll be still bright and whatever. And what actually happens is that now, heart disease is one of the possibilities. It could also be bronchitis, or it could be dogs don't tend to get pneumonia. Cats will get flu and stuff like that. Dogs don't tend to get that. So a dog coughing is often it's often a bronchitis, or very often it's heart disease, or sometimes a combination of both. And what would actually happen there when you would go to a vet is, and sometimes it can be hard to distinguish just examining them whether it's bronchitis or heart disease, because it's the same type of older animals that get both. Very good idea when you're going to a vet to have the dog fasting. And what they'll generally do there is they'll do an x-ray of the chest, and that will determine whether it's bronchitis or heart disease. Now, if the dog is bright and alert, it sort of rules out one of the other things that can be. You can get a cancer in the lungs that will cause coughing and stuff, but they're generally weight loss and other symptoms. But that's probably either bronchitis or early bronchitis or early heart disease. And if those are treated early, quite effective.
Okay. Caller says, I have a 6-year-old long-haired German Shepherd who for the past 1.5 years suffers from a crack in the skin on one side of her nostril. Her food is the same, no table scraps given, occasionally has watermelon with no seeds, raw carrots or apple. Nothing has changed since a pup. We've put olive oil, vitamin E oil, and the vet has said it's just something that German Shepherds can have. Any suggestions greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it can be a condition of German Shepherds, and there's actually an autoimmune condition that can affect the nostrils and the mucous membranes. There are medications for that. The next thing, if it's not clearing up, is the vet might actually take a sample and maybe send it to the lab, because there's a number there's a number of immune-mediated diseases, and German Shepherds are prone to those that can cause that. The other thing that I've actually seen to cause that is there's a condition that animals get as well called keratoconjunctivitis seca. It's actually called dry eye. Now, that's generally older animals, but sometimes it can occur in younger. And basically, with those animals, they don't produce enough tears of the liquid part of the tears. And sometimes they can have sort of weepy eyes as well. But if there's weepy eyes going on as well with a dry nose that's cracked like that, you'd be thinking of dry eye, because what actually happens is the tears are produced. They act like a windscreen washer for the eye. They drain through a nasolacrimal duct and they come out in the nose and they moisturise the nose as well. So if there's a blockage along the duct or if there's insufficient tear production, that leads to either one or both sides being dry and cracked. So I think maybe it might be just worth investigating it a little bit more.
Okay. Caller has an 8-year-old Chihuahua Jack Russell Cross. When she drinks water, she gets a fit of coughing, like the water's gone down the wrong way. Caller has taken her to the vet and had her throat checked, but wonders if Danny has any recommendations as to a vessel that she could use to slow her down while she's drinking.
Yeah, good idea. That's actually a good idea. I would say also to raise it, like if they're drinking out of a bowl that's low down, they kind of throw their head up and it kind of goes back very quickly. So if you raise it a little bit higher, it makes it a bit harder for them to drink out of it. And also they've extended their head when they're drinking, so the whole neck is extended out straighter, so it's easier for them to swallow and it's less inclined to cause issues going back. So possibly worth trying that. Another common enough thing there that, you know, this is to do with food, is some animals gulp their food down as well. Now, this obviously is a different question, but and some of those dogs can get kind of sick afterwards, or they can get a lot of gas in the stomach, and that can cause its own problems at both ends. And basically, what we recommend with those is that you can get a slow feeder, which is like it's like a bowl, but it's got lots of little compartments, so that they have to pick their way through it. But that's more applicable to where they're eating too fast. But I would try raising it a little, and that might help.
Okay. Caller says, I recently got a Pomsky, and I'm just wondering what is the best brand of food to give him. I'm giving him Pedigree puppy nuts, but a vet recently told me that wasn't the best. I'm also wondering, do I need to get him groomed? If so, how often? Are they easy to train?
Yeah, yes, they're quite clever, so they're good to train. What I always suggest there is with a pup or with a young dog. I'm absolutely no expert in grooming, but and that's why I wouldn't give any advice on it. But what I do think, it's a really good idea to take your dog as a pup to a groomer for a couple of reasons. Number one, they'll give you advice, but number two, you've introduced the dog to the groomer when they're young, and it becomes a joyful thing. Whereas if you with any animal, there's a thing called socialization, a young dog, and basically if you introduce a young dog to the vet, to loud noises, to the groomer, it's a positive experience, because when they're really young like that, they just want to embrace everything, and it's a joyful experience. So if you don't introduce them to these things when they're young, if they're more than 20 weeks old or older, they tend to have a fear of things. And that's why a lot of these puppies that come out of puppy farms who have never met any humans or whatever, they're fearful, and it can cause all sorts of behavioural problems. So I know I've gone off track there, I've tended to do that, but I would say go to a groomer, and they'll give you advice on how often it should be groomed, and how to brush them out and stuff like that. What were the other parts of the question?
The food. They were asking about food. They said they're giving the puppy
generally
pedigree nuts.
Generally, it's good to get a good brand of food. Basically, and there's a number of good brands, but basically the idea is that if you feed them a puppy up to 6 months or maybe 9 months, if it's the large breeds mature a little later, The good puppy foods will have a higher protein content because they're growing, but they will also have the correct balance of calcium and phosphorus, which is good for the joints. And then when they get about to the, when they get 9 months to a year, 6 months for smaller dogs, 9 months to a year for bigger dogs, you're putting them onto an adult diet then. Adult diets will have lower protein than a puppy diet because they're not growing, they're fully grown, and also the balance is slightly different. If you were to feed a puppy diet constantly to an older dog, it's too high in protein, that could be converted into fat. And likewise, dogs love cat food because cat food is sky high protein, and but it's very fattening for dogs. So basically, that's probably what he's talking about, is maybe it's probably too high energy or whatever. So I would say get advice on a good brand, but also feed, and also and a really good idea as well is with a young dog, if you feed them three times a day up to about the 6 month stage, their tummy is small and they're growing very fast and they need to be fed three times a day. But then I would go down to twice a day at 6 months, and when they're over a year old, generally once a day is enough, maybe for very small breeds twice a day. But the type of food you feed, and again I mentioned earlier about older animals, they have a different food requirement as well. So basically, with the better brands of food, they will have specific brands for their specific ages. And going back to my older dogs with arthritis, the food that they will have high levels of glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, and other things that help the joints. So it and also an expensive, the good brands are considered more expensive. They generally aren't. Basically, the volume of feeding is often a lot less. The cheaper foods tend to have lower food content. There's two things about them. Number one, you have a lot more waste. So if your dog is indoors, you're going to be cleaning up a lot more after because they're not near as digestible. The more expensive foods, you're actually feeding less, but you notice a huge difference in the yard. You don't have half the droppings afterwards. So that's why I say get a good food and feed at the appropriate stage.
Okay. We might just fit one more in. A person says, I have a cat about 7 years old, sleeps indoors at night. Recently, he's taken to urinating on the worktop or cooker. Not every night. We do have a litter tray. What does Danny think?
I'd say maybe get the cat checked out. There may be some sort of, like, cats can get urinary, they can get, they're the most common, one of the most common conditions we see in cats, called FUS. It's like a cystitis type thing, and you get abnormal small amounts of urine past here, there and everywhere. So it could be that. So get that checked out. The other thing too is sometimes it's stress related, and what you need to do is if they go in a particular area as well, they can go there again and again because of the scent. So you can get special cleaning agents to clean it up. But I would say the initial thing there is to just take it to a vet and then do an ultrasound scan of the bladder and see what's going on.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, look, Danny, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
No problem. Danny O'Sullivan there of the All Care Veterinary Clinic in Killarney. Taking your questions, we didn't manage to get through them all, but we will hold them over for the next day that Danny is here with us.
Talk About on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. Join us every Thursday during November for Dine in Killarney. For menu and booking details, visit their Facebook page.
Talk About on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. Working closely with suppliers to produce only the finest quality, locally sourced meat and fish for our menus.